God, we want to thank you for how good you've been to us. We bless your holy name. We give you the praise, all of it, all the glory, all the honor. We want to tell you that we love you. Bless us indeed and enlarge our territory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We may take our seats. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, God is good. And all the time, God is good. So we're going to continue with our message on prayer, the reasons to pray. So we'll have the video, it will be ready. Yeah. Hallelujah. The reasons to pray. Praise God. Now, why is it important to pray? It's important to pray because we are in a war. Let's quickly turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We are just going over what we've talked about. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, verse 10 to verse 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to what? Withstand against, or you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hallelujah. So I'll read it again, or I'll quote it again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. So this is talking about a war you and I are in. Can I have an amen? Amen. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's yes. Then the next verse. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench most of the fiery darts of the wicked. No. Not in our Bible. All the fiery darts of the wicked. Continue, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. Amen. Amen. So we began to talk about the fact that praying is something that you and I must do. Because look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 4, and 5. The Bible says, some of them talk to them as though they walk with the flesh, or they deal with them in the flesh. But for though we walk in the flesh, or even though we live physical, normal human lives, we do not war after the flesh. How many understand what I'm saying? So even though we live a physical human battle or life, we walk human. We talk human. We move around. We are physical. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Our force, our fight, our war, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, like we read in Ephesians chapter 6. So though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But the weapons, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He said this. Fist fight. No. They are not words, exchange of words. They are not karate. Am I saying something to somebody? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every what? High thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ. Bringing into every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So casting down every imagination. So it means that the devil will place imaginations, ideas, thoughts in our minds that we must debunk. So we cast in the, down imaginations and every high thought. And what is a high thought? A high thought is a thought that tries to go over the word of God. So for example, you're reading the Bible, or I'm preaching, or a pastor is preaching, or a child has quoted a scripture. My daughter or my son has quoted, I'm going against my word. I've promised them something, I'm going against my word, and they quote scripture that liars will find their part in the lake of fire, or they say that do not lie. I can't say that it's because it's a child, I'm going to negate it. I can easily make an excuse for why I shouldn't follow that word. How many are getting what I'm saying? So that is a high thought that is trying to negate what the Bible says. So some people use it by saying that he's a man. So he's talking about women. He doesn't know how women feel. Or she's a woman. She's talking about men. She doesn't know how men feel. Or he's an adult. He's talking like an adult. He doesn't know how children feel. And vice versa. How many are getting what I mean? So these are the high thoughts that try to exalt or lift themselves above what we know Christ says. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Next verse. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Wow. You are looking for a place. So let's be searching for a hall. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's be searching for a hall. Desperately searching. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Very important. Verse 2. Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course, the methods, the procedures, the way of life of this world. Now, there's a way of life in this world where if you are applying for a job, you have to lie on your resume. Don't shut me down. I'm preaching good here. Or you have to make things up. There was a time when I finished my bachelor's. My cousin was a director in the derivatives department in one of the top investment banks in the United Kingdom. And I asked him whether I can have some experience in derivatives. So I went to the marketing desk for the interest rate swaps. Swaps options. Okay, swaps. Now I know what swaps are easily. Options, I can rattle it. But at that time, I didn't even hear the word options. So I wrote on my resume that I shadowed one of the directors in the derivatives department. Beautiful. I can't get away with anything because that's what I did one day. But I made it look like it was the summer. So the guy was impressed. Wow, you did derivatives. Oh, wow. Which one? I said, I worked in interest rate swaps. Then I explained what it meant, interest rate swaps. Okay, I was just going to explain. This is not a finance seminar. Hallelujah. And then he said, okay, what options did you work with? Then he just looked at me, turned red, shook his head. By the time I got home, there was a rejection. But now I know that there are call options, put options. I didn't know then. So when you lie, it sometimes bites you. There are some people who are in church, but they ask other people to clock in for them. And there was such a person who was asking another person to clock in for her as a nursing person. And there were cameras. I don't know why they didn't think about the cameras. And they recorded everything. Sometimes they take their time. They don't get you immediately. They took their time and got her. No, it's not true. No, it's not true. I've never done that. Oh, really? Okay, are you sure? They make it look like they believe you. Oh, okay, please, hold on. Play. Then they see her, and they see the person, the name. Oh, so she was fired. Then she started to ask God why. And I said, God, why she don't come in? Because you didn't go God's way. You went the ways of the world. How many are getting what I'm saying? The curse of this world is when a lady is dressed and you just need to just look a bit and you see the nipples out. You just need to just look just a bit. Just a bit. And you see that the nipples have come out. But why? The Bible doesn't talk about nipples in the Bible. Many of us, apart from the little ones, we don't know what I'm talking about. Huh? Apart from these people, which I'm hoping they have not. You don't know what nipples are. You don't know. So all you need to do is just look a bit and you see the nipples coming out. And you ask, why? Then they are trying to cover. Or very tight skirt. We are talking about the course of this world. Tight. And when they are walking, and when they sit down, they have to struggle. And you ask yourself, why the hassle? Is the course of this world. Some women feel that that's how you can get a man. Don't shut me down, I'm preaching good here. But you don't get a man that way. You get a man to sleep with you that way. That's not a problem. But to hold you and be with you properly, that's not what you do. You don't get it that way. Am I saying something to somebody? Because it's easy to be slept with, but it's not easy to be kept. Am I saying something to somebody? But when we dress appropriately, it's fair. What do you think? Yeah, they're scared. You see, I've been preaching before, and a lady sat down like this. She wasn't wearing underwear. Like this in front, like this. I think when you left, she left and went to a branch. So the ladies were all thinking, yeah. So the ladies like this, sitting like this, free. The skirt. And when she's getting out then. So what I'm saying is that, of course, when you are free, you don't have to. You just non-existent. And I just preach. What do you think? I tell you. That happens. There have even been some people who have come to sit down. It was so bad that some people brought cloth for them. This is the curse of this world. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the curse of this world. Some of the curse of this world is that to keep the man, what should I do with him? Oh, if you want to keep the man, what do you do? I'm talking about in the world, not Christ. What do you do? What do you do? You remove your clothes. Should I help you? Yeah, you sleep with him. Isn't that what happens in the world? But do they keep the men that way? Do they keep the men that way? Has anyone kept a man that way? Men, can you be kept that way? Answer. Emmanuel, can you be kept? Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now check this out. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What am I talking about? Anyone who is not a Christian has a spirit working in them. No wonder sometimes as you are praying or you are doing your best for God, you are being frustrated at work or in some places. Why? Because there's a spirit that is working in the unbeliever that the devil can try to use to frustrate you. So if you don't pray, and you don't fortify yourself by prayer, those devils that are at work in the unbelievers, those devils can be used to frustrate you. There was a time when I first moved to the United States, I started working in Connecticut. Now, we started the church in Connecticut at that time. Before then, The manager was talking about promotion. Oh, when you get promoted, then your evaluation, when you are promoted, talking about promotion, talking about fantastic things. As soon as I, and everybody was happy with my work, as soon as we started the church and we're doing prayer rounds, then they started to find fault. Because when the devil wants to frustrate you, he sometimes works in the children of disobedience. Look at NLT. If you don't pray, you and I need to pray for our boss. That's what the Bible says. Pray for your leaders and those in authority. We must pray for them. I remember my boss was having his wife was having complications with children. This was a while back. And as soon as my mother heard, she said, look, pray for him. Because when you pray for him and he is not frustrated, he will not frustrate you. When he's frustrated, he can frustrate you. Am I preaching to somebody? You used to live just like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. You've sent an application. You want the results. Keba Shanda later, but you better pray over the application before you send it. You are going to the hospital. There is a lady we know. There's a certain lady we knew in Connecticut who went for a simple appendix operation and died from that operation. Simple operation. It's not automatic that you go to the hospital and come back. So what do? You pray about every single thing you are doing. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Trust in him and acknowledge him in all your ways. How do you acknowledge God in all your ways? By praying. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Ladies and gentlemen, a job application, you better pray over it. You better pray. If you know the names of the people interviewing you, pray over them. Names. When you have the name of the person, pray. If there is someone who is taking you to court and you know their name, you know their name because you'll be sent a notice. You pray. I tell you because, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't pray, when you pray, something, when the odds are against you, 90 to 10 or 95 to 5 against you, prayer will turn it around to 100 to 0. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You can put your hands together for the Lord. Yeah. Prayer works. Jesus specializes in impossibilities. Anytime there are possible situations, it's okay. You can do it. God has given us the ability to obtain wealth. The Bible says it is he who gives us the ability to obtain wealth. So if it is an impossible situation, then he kicks in. He comes in when the situation is impossible and you dare to believe. Do you dare to believe? Do I dare to believe? Look, it doesn't matter the situation. If you dare to believe, he will honor you. There are people who have received such blessings with no logical explanation because of prayer. Prayer works. So Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8, Jesus gave a parable to the people and to us to encourage us to pray without giving up. Hallelujah. So you and I must pray and not give up on prayer. Then we began to talk about tongues and many things. We've talked about a lot of things during this series. So now, then we began to talk about some of the reasons we must pray. And what is the first reason? Pray because prayer is a great act of faith. Hallelujah. When you are someone who prays a lot, you are someone who God has noticed. You are someone who heaven has noticed. Heaven has noticed you because you are someone who prays. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can pray things in the heavens, before they are manifested. It means that if there's a problem, oh, I've seen this problem. I've seen that problem. I see that they are coming after me. Okay, we are okay. Once I've identified that there's a problem, we are set. Because a doctor's job is to diagnose you. If the doctor can't diagnose you and there are apps that you can just punch in, why would I need a doctor? The doctor, his main aim is to diagnose you. His experience is to diagnose you. Once he's diagnosed you, apart from the surgeon, the next thing he's going to do is to prescribe medication someone has made, not him. Unless the researchers. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you realize that 90% of the battle is in the diagnosis. In the same way, if you and I are having a problem in life, and we are able to diagnose the problem, then we can go to God's right hand. We can go directly to God's right hand. We can go directly to his throne and ask for what we are looking for because we have diagnosed it. And he'll give it to us. He's promised. I don't know if I'm preaching to somebody here. So what does it mean? It means ask. If you ask, you will get it. Now, like I said before, before anything happens on earth, at, in fact, 11:59 today, whatever will happen to us, including our families and everyone in the Cleveland area, in heaven, they know it already. Vivian, do you understand? They know it in heaven already. What does it mean? It means heaven is where the decisions are made. So if I have been given access because of the blood of Jesus to heaven, where the decisions are made, hey, and I'm able to make supplication there, then my answers and the establishment will already be sorted out before it's manifested. That's why Jesus says, don't worry about anything. Myself and all of us who worry after praying, heaven is wondering why we are worried because the answer has been given and declared already. But we are worrying about that job or worrying about that situation when heaven has declared that in 5 days' time you are getting it. But you and I don't know it, but we are worried about it. Why don't we know it? That's why Jesus said, believe you receive and you will have. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Hallelujah. And Jesus answering saith unto him, or unto them, have faith in God. Wow. Or have the faith of what? God. Or have what? The God kind of faith. And this faith is the faith that says with their mouths what they believe in their hearts, and it comes to pass. Am I preaching to somebody? Yes. This is the same word. You don't need to turn to it yet because we are going to read this. But Romans chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. Okay, you turn to it once you can get back here. The Bible says, the word is nigh thee. Romans 10, 8. I think it's 8 and 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. It's near you. Even in your what? Mouth and in your heart. And that is the word of faith which we preach. Did you get it? So the word, if it's in your heart, it will bubble out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If the heart is filled with bitterness, if the heart is filled with junk, if the heart is filled with what? Quarrels. Then that is what will come out. But if the heart is full of the word, if the heart is full of faith, then what will come out is the word. What will come out is victory. If the heart is full of doubt, faith comes by hearing, fear comes by hearing and seeing. If every day, those, especially those in the medical field, that's why it's amazing. Pastor Sam, he is a doctor, and because he is a doctor, when he sees a condition and the person says they are healed, it's fantastic. Because you know the biological thing that has happened, that is very difficult or impossible to reverse. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you will see that if it wasn't for the word of faith that was in his heart and the things that he has seen, he will never believe it. And what he has studied, what he has read in school, tells him that, look, if it wasn't for God, he will not have any faith. He would rather have fear. Hallelujah. Because if you ask, how does cancer happen? The doctors don't know. Very, very small percentage of cancer is genetic. They found very small percentage of cancer is genetic. Of course, someone who has breast cancer, if their parent has had breast cancer, it doesn't guarantee that you will have breast cancer, but maybe you might have at least some genes that can predispose you to breast cancer, but it is not automatic. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm saying. So you can clearly see how that can cause someone to fear. You see what I'm saying? But when you think about it, someone who has cancer, the doctors know that in general, apart from that 5, 10, 15% of people who have it from genetics, no one really knows. But they assume that it's red meat, it's this, it's carcinogens, it's all sorts of things. But do you know what caused the cell to just spoil? You see, most people have cells that are damaged, but the only thing is that our immune system kills it before it replicates. Am I saying something? But cancer is when the cell is damaged and the immune system doesn't catch it, and it starts to replicate. Damaged cell replicates, and those damaged cells, if one cell replicates, then two. Damaged. Another two. And then it spreads. And then tumors. And then metastasis. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I'm saying that they know it. So that can cause them to even fear. Because of the knowledge they have. To even fear that, hey, this thing can happen. No. If there's a bump on their hands, then they're afraid. I'm telling you something. But in the same way, if every day we are hearing the word of faith, if every day we are hearing about faith, if every day we are hearing the word of God, if every day we are reading the word of God, if every day we are listening to a preaching message, if every day we are listening to audio Bible, it will build our faith. And when it builds our faith and we pray, God will hear it. Now go back to Mark 11. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. You see, this thing I'm saying will give us victory. Amen. Do you know I was preaching on the believer's authority some time back? And there was a lady who had a lamp. This one, I didn't need to pray for her. She had a big lamp in the forehead. And after the believer's authority message, the believer's authority is that you don't need a pastor to pray for you about some things. You can claim it. You can stand your ground. We have been given authority. Didn't say, and all authority has been given to pastors. No. She stood her ground and in Jesus' name commanded that lamp to vanish, and it vanished. I'm preaching to somebody here. Because she stood her ground. So this message I'm preaching, if you follow it well, there's nothing that would prevent you. Prevent you from what? Prevent you from what you want, actually. For verily I say unto you, Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever. Now, the word whosoever, can you find it in John 3:16? The word whosoever, is it in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. Now, we also see the same word whosoever here. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, so if that whosoever in John 3:16 means me, then apply yourself to this whosoever. At least I am. I don't know about you. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. What is the mountain? The mountain of lack, be removed. The mountain of disease, be removed. The mountain of hassle, removed. The mountain of bad news, be removed. If thou shalt say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So this is not prayer. There's not a single word of prayer here. This is speaking and confessing. This is demanding your rights. This is confessing in Jesus' name. Are you getting me? Prayer is coming in the next verse. Therefore, I say unto you, verse 24, what things soever you desire when ye pray, not after you pray, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. So, in heaven, the angels are wondering, they've prayed. Why are they not believing? Why are they crying? Why are they crying? Of course, I'm also part, we are all part of the crying. But if we just believe, all things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible. What did I say? I said all things are possible. So you and I must have our praying shoes on. Look, prayer works, so even if it looks like it's not working, it works. I want to encourage you, look, just have the habit of prayer. You see, what I mean by that is if you have a prayer life, a life of not less than 1 hour of prayer every day, you see results, or you don't see results, or I'm praying. Because as for the results, they are sure. They are sure. They are sure. Because Jesus' words work. Pray because prayer is a great act of faith. You are praying because you believe that God has done it. Number two, pray because prayer makes you into what? A person of authority. The president, you hear him say something. If the president, two of us are here, and I have spoken to the president, and everyone knows that I'm his friend, and I speak to him on a regular basis, and I tell you that the president, this is what he's planning to do, who are you going to believe, he or the newscaster? I tell you, look, when you look into things properly, those things are just for show. The real deal is being handled behind the scenes. Why? Because you've spoken to the person and you know the person. You have a certain confidence. If I have come from the president's place and the president has told me to say something, I have a certain confidence when I'm speaking. Even though I'm nobody. Even my name, when even the small person, at least in other places, we are here, we are just starting here. In other places, when you say Reverend David, it carries such weight. A lot of weight. Hallelujah. Why? Because that name, when you say David, Reverend David said this, that it settles. So sometimes people use the name when they are not supposed to. And it becomes a problem. You understand? Because they know that people will say, okay, argument end, because they've used the name. Why? Because and people will believe them and they will say it with such confidence because we are close or we speak. In the same way, if you are close to God and you are confident to God and you speak to God, it gives you a certain authority to be able to say what you have to say. Amen. Hallelujah. If Bishop Dag or Benny Hinn is saying that, look, God told me this, you believe it more. Because you know that that person communicates with God. Hallelujah. Amen. If Prophet Kakra says that, look, I saw a vision and I saw A, B, C, you believe it. Because not only do we know that he speaks to God, but he communicates with God and it has been backed with evidence. Am I saying something to somebody? So you and I become people of authority when we say things and they happen because of where we've come from. Gabriel met Zachariah and said, Zachariah, your wife who is barren is going to have a child. Zachariah said, how can this be? Gabriel said, hey, do you know who is talking to you? I come from the very presence of God and I'm telling you something. But because I come from the presence of God and you didn't get it, you are not going to be able to speak till the thing is done. Hey, do you know who you are talking to? I come from the presence. I'm Gabriel. Confidence. If you speak to God once, only in church, what confidence is there? You don't have, where is the confidence? I don't know whether you are hearing what I'm talking about. There's no confidence because you don't know the person. But when you know the person, there's a certain authority that comes with it. Not only the authority because of because of where you are coming from, but the fact that you communicate with the person, that person gives you a certain authority. For example, Bishop Dark or maybe the president has certain spokespeople. When they speak, they are speaking with the authority the president gave them. The policeman, there are some of them that I can use my backhand to slap them to the floor and they'll fall down. Or I can give them a kick. But I won't dare. Why? Because they've been given authority by the mayor to the governor, to the president, and ultimately to God. Because God says all authority is ordained of God. There's no authority without God. So what does it mean? So it means that sometimes people are given delegated power. Authority is delegated power. They are given so much delegated authority that when they speak, they are speaking with authority. If a policeman flashes you, if you like, don't stop. Unless you are a criminal. If you like, don't stop. If it was just each policeman for himself, you have your business policeman, I will say, clear off as you are driving to me. But look, before you say Jack Robinson, there are 10 following you, 20 following you. In the same way, when you communicate with God, he gives you authority. There are certain people, if I don't know the person and the person says, oh, Reverend David said this, most likely it's not going to be, people will be like, oh, what are you talking about? Or Bishop, aren't people going to be like, who? Maybe for example, myself, if I say that, hey, everyone, Bishop Dark says this, and LP Paula, who is his secretary, or the one he works closely with, no, Bishop Dark says that. People look at me and say, who are you? What are you talking about? Because I'm not as close to him as LP Paula. I'm trying to be, but I'm not as close to him as LP Paula. And because I'm not as close to him as LP Paula, I have not been given a certain authority that she has been given. I don't know that you're hearing what I'm talking about. So in the same way, the closer we are to God, the more authority he gives us. Because authority comes with closeness. President Trump is fantastic in explaining that. Oh, you are close to me in the whole house. Come on, we are in the cabinet. Once you are close to me, come and say. We are not really interested in per se what you know and what. Just come. What do you think? And if you think about it, that's how God operates. God operates solely on not what you know, not your skills. Bishop Dar gives the example of when he's working, when you go to Ghana and you see the Kodesh, you see Mampong, you see the university there, the school. It's almost like Legon, the nation's university. It's huge. Now, Bishop explains that initially there were architects in the church. Architects and people who were skilled engineers in church. Now he would tell them, I am the one who's in charge. I want this way. I want the roof this way. I want that. Oh, but you know, the math says this. Matt says this. I said, this is what I want. A lot of arguments. You just say, please, it's okay. Who is going to do what I want? You can suggest. I love suggestions. But at the end of the day, with all the suggestions, this is what I want. You realize that they get to do. In the same way, when we are drawing close, you see, we always have to use human relations to be able to communicate with, I mean, relate with God, even like children and parents. In the same way, if you and I are able to communicate with God, have a relationship with God, and do as he says, what is it that he would withhold from us? Prayer makes you and I into people of authority. And then the next one, prayer makes you into a person. In fact, let's read that. Anyway, let's read it. Matthew 7, 28 and 29. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Oh, you bet. It is written in the law of Moses, that Moses said this, that, 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 but I say, when someone says, but I say, then that person is the one in authority. This is, can any of us do that? The Bible says this in the Old Testament, but I say this. No. That's because he's a man of authority. But realize that a great while before day, Jesus went out to a solitary place and there prayed. Jesus was a man of prayer, even though he was God. If God himself needed prayer when he was on earth, then you and I, we need a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray, 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 pray. Sometimes people want to wait till they've got everything. You see, the ideal thing is have a separate time alone with God. 1 hour with God. No distractions. After that, I'm watching TV. Kemo Chandele Bokada. I'm on the internet checking one or two things on Facebook. Kremo do Shandada. You can pray. There's nothing wrong with praying. Because when you pray in tongues, your mind is unfruitful, but your spirit is praying. If my mind is unfruitful, I can read a book. I can do math. I can do many things whilst praying in the Holy Ghost. I am very sure when you are doing mathematics or very high, difficult things and you are praying the Holy Ghost whilst doing it, sharp. It will be very sharp. Yes, try it. It will be very, very powerful. Why? Because your mind is unfruitful, but your spirit is praying. Am I saying something to somebody? Prayer makes you into a person of authority. Vivian, don't you want to be able to sit somewhere and say, someone will cry, oh, I lost my job, oh, and you say, you lost your job, in Jesus' name, go home. By Monday, tell me how good the news is. And then Monday comes, I got a job. I knew it. Why? Because you are a woman of authority and anointing. Believe it. That is your story. That is my story. In Jesus' name. Shall we stand to our feet? Hallelujah. Oh, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, wonderful Jesus. Just speak to Jesus, ask him to bless your heart. Ask him to give you a heart after him. Oh, yes, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. Just sing one song. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, wonderful Jesus.
Lead me, Lord.
We bless your name.
I will follow. Lead me, Lord. I will go. You have called.
I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven. I want to trust Jesus as Lord. If you are here like that and you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to try Jesus. I want the new birth experience. I want a new life in Christ Jesus. Lift your hands and I will pray with you. Is there anyone like that who wants to say, Pastor, pray with me? Hallelujah. Let's all repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you.
I come to you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I confess. That Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe. That he died on the cross.
That he died on the cross.
For my sins.
I believe
that God raised him from the dead.
That God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus. Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Forgive me. For all my sins.
Cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
From today.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We may take our seats.